The Trump administration and congressional leaders are working on a plan to rework the country's tax code. They unveiled a framework last week. Among other things, it would reduce the number of individual tax brackets from 7 to 3 and eliminate a number of deductions. To help walk us through the plan, I spoke with Adam Chatterow. He's a law professor in ASU's Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law and specializes in tax law. He points out the proposal is short on details, which is, of course, where the proverbial devil always seems to reside. We started by talking about deductions, and I asked him, depending on what Congress ultimately does with them, what some of the effects might be on taxpayers.
Sure. So there are, let's back up a little and talk about what an income tax is being asked to do. We're really asking it to do two things. The first thing is to measure how much income you have and then raise revenue based on those measurements. The second thing is to do a lot of social policy. So say the government wants to encourage home ownership. Instead of sending people a check, what the government will do is it will say, rather than send us the money in taxes and have us send it back to you in a check, what we'll do instead is just give you a deduction for home mortgage interest. Or if we want to encourage you to buy health insurance, we're going to say that if your employer buys you health insurance, that we're going to exempt that from income and you don't have to pay tax on it.
Or encourage people to donate to charity, for example.
Or charitable donation deductions, exactly. And so what this proposal does is it says we're going to get rid of most of those social policy deductions for individuals. They're actually talking about keeping two, the home mortgage deduction and the charitable donation deduction. So while the exclusion for health insurance isn't a deduction, that is a social policy provision embedded in the code, and it's not clear whether they're talking about getting rid of that or whether they're only focused on the subsidies that are structured as deductions.
But social policy aside, is it not true, though, that if you eliminate deductions, you are, in theory at least, simplifying how people pay their taxes? You make it easier for people to file their own income taxes.
Absolutely. And I actually agree that we ought to be taking most of this social policy out of the tax code. It would simplify the tax code, and that's a really good idea.
When you hear policymakers talking about wanting to make any changes revenue neutral, you don't want to cost the government money because the government obviously needs money to do the things that it does. How do you define that? I mean, is it just a matter merely of dollars and cents? Does it matter who is paying more or less to maybe make up the difference of you know, what changes policymakers have enacted?
Right. So revenue neutral means that whatever changes we make to the tax code, the government is going to collect the same amount of money. But the second part of your question deals with distribution, which is, well, the government may collect the same amount of money, but who's going to pay for it? So every dollar some taxpayer avoids, some other taxpayer has to pick up. And that's one of the huge problems.
To really get a sense of what this plan would do and how it would change how we pay taxes and how the government collects our tax money, are there specific details that you feel like you need to see or would like to see, or is it just sort of generally more details across the board?
There are a ton of details that would be wonderful to see here. So for instance, they talk about having a top rate of 25% for pass-through businesses, which is great, right? Everybody wants a lower rate. But under current law, anybody could create an LLC and then say, instead of hiring me and paying me directly, where I would pay a top marginal rate of 35%, instead, hire my LLC. I work for my LLC. The money gets paid to the LLC. It flows through to me, and I pay tax now at 25%. So the proposal, the framework that was released, said Treasury is going to issue some rules, or Congress will come up with some rules that will stop that from happening. I'd love to see what those rules look like. It's really easy in the abstract to say, we're going to close loopholes. Which loophole are you going to close? Because as soon as you identify it, there's somebody there whose ox is being gored who is going to defend it to the death. So let me give you an example. One of the current deductions in the tax code is for state and local income and property taxes and sales taxes. And the Republicans have said, we want to do away with that. Because what we think we're doing here is we're subsidizing high-tax states. Well, it turns out that the high-tax states are looking at this and saying, hell no, right? You're actually hurting our voters. And it's not just the Democrats in those high-tax states, but the Republicans are revolting as well. Every time you go after a provision and say, this is a loophole, this is a subsidy, we're getting rid of it, there is a well-organized, usually well-funded group of people willing to fight for it.
I wanted to ask you about how a potential change to the federal tax code could impact the state tax code as well. I mean, if Congress goes ahead and approves some amount of the changes in this plan, presumably with more detail than what we have now, what potentially could that do to the Arizona, for example, tax code?
Sure. So there's a connection between the federal income tax and most state income taxes. And every income tax has an income definition. It defines what's included, what deductions are allowed, what gets excluded. And most states piggyback off of the federal definition. And it's referred to as conformity. And the question is, what level of conformity does the state tax law have to the federal tax law? So let's take a specific example, expensing. So in the proposal, they say we're going to allow companies to deduct currently the cost of any assets they buy. So under current law, they have to capitalize the cost, they depreciate it over years, or they wait until they sell the asset. But under the proposal, you get to deduct it immediately. So the effect of that is to significantly reduce the reported income in the year that you buy an asset, because you're deducting the entire cost in 1 year. So for states that conform their capitalization rules to the federal rules, and that's most states, suddenly the states stand to lose a significant amount of revenue, because the income for state tax purposes is going to be significantly reduced as a result of these rules. So one of the things that may have to happen as a result of this federal reform, if it actually happens, is that the states are going to have to then re-examine their tax codes and figure out the extent to which they want to go along with these federal changes.
All right. Adam Chodorow is a law professor in the Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law. He specializes in tax law. Adam, thanks a lot for coming in.
My pleasure.